Let us at this time then turn to the first epistle of Timothy, First Timothy chapter 6. And I would like to read for us, for context, a few verses starting at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life, which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, to keep the commandment unrestrained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be the honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words, and we ask again that you will teach us of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will lay our hands and lay our desires upon him who is before us, who has gone to the cross for our sake. We ask, Lord, that you will give us a deeper desire to be more obedient, to pursue these things as you have instructed us in these words, and that you will give us the strength for the fight that we have to fight daily. We ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I believe it was July 4th of 1888 that Vincent van Gogh painted a painting. It was called The Sunset of Montmajour, which is a painting that was lost for a long time. Apparently, a rich industrialist in Denmark bought the painting, and it disappeared for more than 100 years. And only in 2013 that it was established that this painting was actually an original, that it was somewhere in an attic of a house that no one knew where it was, and no one knew what the value was of this painting. That it was suddenly discovered that this is something of great value, and that the person who had it had no idea, and that it was something that should have been displayed and shown to the world, but that it was in hiding. And this is something that Paul talks about here as a has also a great treasure that we are to look to and look to pursue. Look to not only to pursue it, but to fight for it, to get this great treasure that he's talking about. And it really has to do with the eternal life, that we are to lay claim to the eternal life. Well, Van Gogh's painting was or is worth much, but it really doesn't even come close to the pressure or precious treasure that we have in Christ, an eternal life that we receive from him. So the theme of this text, and it's only verses 11 and 12 that we will look at tonight, is a charge that we receive here from Paul. Take hold of eternal life by pursuing God's will. Take hold of eternal life by pursuing God's will. And we will look at it firstly under pursue God's will in verse 11, and then verse 12, take hold of eternal life, verse 12. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of the faith. Pursue these things. O man of God. Of course, Paul is addressing young Pastor Timothy here. Timothy was, as we can read and deduct from what I read just before this, that this man was dealing with some very serious issues in the church. There were teachers who taught doctrines that were different from what Paul calls here, who does not agree with the sound word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those sound words, or unsound words rather, was in conflict with the sound words that our Lord Jesus Christ taught. And we see what he talks about, what happens with them. They were puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. And they then had an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarreling. That is the nature of false teachings, that it tends to bring harm on churches, bring quarrels, bring division, and ultimately can drive wedges between people that is really not necessary. He goes on there that he says they produce dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction. And that is something that we constantly have to warn against. We constantly have to avoid that. We have to, instead of looking at things that may be standing in conflict with the Bible, that we always have to look at what he says. As I was bringing to you last week in the morning, that we have the scriptures. It is given for us. It's all true. It's all sound. Those are the words of life for us. And anything that stands in contrast then is something that is to be rejected. But Paul addresses a pastor here, but it doesn't only apply to a pastor. This applies to every person, that we are to flee these things. When we hear things that doesn't sound right, according to what we know the scripture says, we are to flee from this. Those words are very very important. Flee from these things. Run away from these things. We also are taught that we are to flee temptations. That we are to stay away from these things. Don't let it take our time. But rather let us focus on what he has given for us for our benefit and for our own health. Because it is, as he warns here, it is sin and death that follows. Division in churches, sin, that sinning against, it talks about false accusations, slander, evil suspicions, constant friction, sinful reactions, sinful pursuits that leads to things that are dividing us not only from each other, but also from people and God himself, that we are to avoid these things. But he gives us this charge then, as Timothy is being given. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Now, this is quite the opposite of what he has spoken of before. Instead of evil conceiting things, understanding nothing, he points us to where we are to go, what we are to do. And notice there the language that he uses there. It should remind us of a, it's athletic almost that we talk about. And if we think about how athletic events in the Roman times happened, it was a race like a pursuing for a prize. It was something that there was a pole that was planted singularly by itself, and all the athletes would run and they would race in each other, and the one who touches it first would be the one who would be the winner. That is what he's urging us here for. Pursue these things. The word that's used there for pursuit is a strong verb that he's using there. It's something that we have to give our whole in doing, in following what he is telling us here. That we have to be seeking to be the first one to win the prize. That we have to pursue righteousness. Now, this morning we talked about righteousness. That we are to be like God as well in our pursuit of righteousness. That we are to seek to be like Christ in our righteousness. That we are to be judged or righteous in our judgments as well. And yes, it is also correct to be angry at those things that God is angry at. We can be righteously angry, but we are warned there also to be angry and not to sin. Yes, it is righteous that we are angry about things like abortion, but it doesn't give us the right to go and kill or hurt an abortion doctor. We are to be also there subject to the law. We are to be subject also to what is allowed for us and what is not allowed for us. But we are to seek those things then that is righteous, that we bring glory to God in those ways as well. And our righteousness, of course, as we talked about this morning, it is earned by our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore also we can pursue this godliness that he's talking about, which is the piety, the reverence we have for him, that we come to him as those who worship him, who give our lives for him as well, as he has offered himself for you and for me. That he is asking us to give our whole life, our whole heart for him. Not just parts of our being, not just parts of our lives, but everything that we have belongs to him then. And that then is how we show as well to the rest of the world. That is how we are shown, or how we show to other people the living Christ in us. That they can see when they talk to us, they hear when they talk to us, when they see that our language is godly, that our conduct is godly, that they see Christ in us as we are presenting a godliness according to the image of Christ. That we show the world the goodness of Christ, not for our own glory, but for his glory. As we are reminded again, as I brought this at a previous time here, that this is also part of showing the world and letting them have that understanding that there is something different, that they would want to inquire what makes that person different from the others, that they want to see who this Christ is, who transforms a person, that they don't just spurt out all kinds of foul words and conduct that is offensive, but their speech is with salt, and that they are bringing good words to the rest of the world, a world that is without hope, who can get the hope that is so needed in this world. And of course, faith. Again, we talked about faith this morning, that we are to pursue it, as Paul is saying here. Yes, it is a gift of God, But we are to seek to be more obedient to Him. We are to seek to rest more in our life on Him. We are to see, one example is here, if we say, for instance, we misplaced our car keys, we can pray to Him. Oh Lord, help me do that. Reveal to me, help me in my mind how to think and how to get it. Let me replay those things. And let him help you in just the most simple things in your lives. Help me, O Lord, in resolving the conflicts I have with other people. When we have conflicts with parents, with brothers and sisters, help me, O Lord, in how to resolve this. Help me, O Lord, how to resolve the problems I have at work. Give me, Lord, the understanding of how to speak to those people. Let Him help you in those things, and let us trust in Him that He will provide what is necessary for not only our good, but also for those around us, to God's glory. And love. We are to pursue love. And again, the word that Paul uses in this text here is the word agape. It is a self-sacrificial love. It's a love that is not looking at myself, but it's looking at those that I need to love outwards, especially God Himself, but then also my brother and sister, my neighbor, that I have. Pursue these things. This is a command that we are getting, that we are to pursue these good things. And perseverance. Pursue perseverance. Don't waver. It's so easy for us when we go through this life and world. It's a very busy life that we all have. And just let my devotions go by the wayside, a little bit here and a little bit there. Pursue these things. Pursue that perseverance and self-discipline, self-control, to continue with these things, continue with the gifts that He has given us, so we ourselves can in faith look upon Christ and rest upon Him, that He will carry us. This is the thing that we see also in martyrs, that they are pursuing these things. I remember talking to a brother who was in a prison because he was a Christian in a country that there's heavy persecution. That they prepared for that in the way that the whole church memorized certain parts of Scripture. And then when they were in the prison itself, that they were able to recall those Scripture verses to each other, strengthening each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other in a place where they really, humanly speaking, had no hope. That they were given that perseverance to continue, not to give up hope, to know there is that victory, that end point that we have to run for, that pursuit that Paul is giving or is telling us about here, that we are to persevere. The goal we have is not just the end of this life. The goal is to be with God in His new heaven and a new earth. Yes, we don't neglect how we live and where we live right now, but we are to look also. Our religion, our faith, is not just something temporal. It is something that we can enjoy for eternity. And gentleness. Pursue gentleness. Oh, how easy it is for us, even with loved ones, to have a harsh word, to be proud and not to accept that we may be wrong sometimes, that we so easily pick fights. Oh, that we are to be humble then also. Humble before each other, humble before God especially. That we be courteous, that we give courtesy to others, that we are considerate of others and their needs and their problems. that we pray for brothers and sisters or others who may be in need. That we really should have in this gentleness, have the mindset of a servant. The servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving those who are around us. But Paul goes on in verse 12 where he says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Notice here the change in tone. It's not athletic language that he's using here. This is military language that he's talking here. Fight the good fight. Now you would probably remember or know about the book that is available about the early days of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church with this very title, Fight the Good Fight. This denomination had its origin in a conflict where there were language or were doctrines that were taught in that church that was standing in contrast with the Word of God. And these people, these men, early on, they knew that, they saw that, and they fought the good fight. And they had to leave and had to seek a denomination that was faithful to the Lord, who was seeking to pursue these things that we are told here, that we are to be faithfully following him, and that we are to put aside those things that draw us away from God. Now we have to understand what, in the context, what Paul is talking about here, that this fight is really twofold. He's talking here about, in the context, about fighting against heresies, about false teachings that we have to fight against. But it's also in a personal sense that he said here, O man of God, this is very personal that he's talking about Timothy. And for us also, this is our personal faith. This is our personal walk in life, our personal fight against the world, against the flesh, against the devil. That we are to be following him, that we are to look not only at those that are around us. We are all sinful people, and we have to fight against our sinful urges and sinful distractions. So that is literally a fight that we have here, that we have to pay close attention to and be very, very necessary to guard ourselves against temptations and against distractions of all kinds. And Paul reveals here then, fight the good fight. And then he tells us what it is, what we're fighting for. Take hold of eternal life. Grab hold of eternal life. Don't let it slip by. Grab hold of it. It's like that man who's fallen overboard and someone throws him a lifesaver. Grab hold of it. Don't let it go. Because that is your only hope that you have. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession. This is the purpose. And he talks about here the you were called and about you what you made a good confession. We talk about the call that we have received as believers as well. That he made a public profession of faith in front of witnesses. But we have to understand what this is in its in what the Westminster Standards or Westminster Shorter Catechism calls about or talks about is the effectual calling, that call that God gives us to bring us into his kingdom, to bring us into his fold. And the answer there is very helpful for us to understand. That effectual calling is a work of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost. It is a work of God, that he does the work inside us, in our hearts, in our minds, that we are changed there, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery. Yes, that's an enlightenment for us, that we can see our own life, our own depravity, as we talked about this morning, that we see our own hopelessness, our own sinfulness, and that it says here, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, that we see that instead of the darkness that we may live in, that we see the marvelousness of Christ, that light of Christ. that lifting, that showing a spotlight, not only on our own depravity, but also the hope that we have in Christ. And then renewing our wills. Just imagine that. Just think about that. There is no one that really can change our minds and wills except the Holy Spirit. We think about Paul in his calling, in his conversion, radically changed. He was literally an enemy of God, enemy of Christ. But he knew who was calling him. He understood, he answered, "Who are you, Lord?" But he was changed, and the Lord used him marvelously. That is the changing that we see when we are then called to him, when we are responding to the call of Christ. And that he says, "He doeth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel." And the unbeliever who is unable to embrace Christ, that we are made able to do that. What a marvelous work that he is doing. And again, I have to emphasize, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. That he does it. And I asked this morning, how on earth is it possible that a God so great, so glorious, so perfect, why would he want to do that for a person like me and you? So depraved in nature that we truly are hopeless. But he does that. And he offers freely to us this treasure, this wonderful gift in the gospel. All we have to do is to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming. I respond, yes, you are calling me, I'll follow you." This is what Paul is telling Timothy. You were called. You answered. You made a profession before these witnesses that he talks about here. A confession of faith. Now we understand and assume then also that Timothy was likely converted under Paul's preaching. That he may have learned some before, but that he was later on taught more in the context of Christ himself, who he was and what he has done, that he was converted to Christ then. But this is also an important thing that he said, a profession of faith before others. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, those who will refuse to profess my name publicly, will I then profess their name before the Father? Those who openly profess my name, I will profess their name before the Father. So we have to think about that. This is not a secret faith that we are to have. This is a faith that we are to live before the world. We are to show the world, even though the world will target us, even though we are told that we will be persecuted. And Paul talks about that as well in this letter. All who seek to live godly lives will be persecuted. We cannot think that we will escape those things if we are truly faithful to Christ. So these words should be for us both an encouragement to follow as he has said here, but it should also be for us a comfort because of what he is promising us here, that we are to receive this wonderful prize, this eternal life given for us. And the eternal life that we look forward is also not something that comes from us. That is also given to us by God. It is all his work. The whole salvation, everything he does. The only thing that we are to contribute to is our sanctification, where we are to be obedient. We are to seek to follow him faithfully. But he does everything else. Everything, Lord, you have done for me, and we can be only grateful for that. And that we are to do then as he is telling us here. So if you desire God's blessing, if you desire to have these gifts that he offers us, this eternal life, believe these words. Place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grab hold of this eternal life. Follow him. Pursue these things that he told us that we are to seek: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Let us not put those things aside. The battle will never be easy. The battle is always worthy, though. Don't give up. Let the world see Christ in you. The prize that we are to be receiving is worth much more than anything that we have in this world. Think about that painting of Vincent van Gogh. Yes, I don't know how much money it is. It was sold for. But that is actually worth nothing in comparison to the prize that we are told of here. It is worth much more than all the gold in this world. But we also have to remember, if we refuse this, that we are facing a God who is just, who is righteous. But that we have to submit to him, and that we have to seek these things, that he will bless us. He will give us what is necessary. He will give us what is necessary to go through the rest of our lives, no matter how difficult life is for us. He will bring us through that if we rest on him. That is a promise that is sure, that is certain. The whole scripture tells us about that. Therefore, we can rest and must rest on that. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we glorify your name and we thank you again for these marvelous words. We ask, Lord, that you give us, as weak people, the strength to continue and pursue these good goals as you have given us here, that we will work daily on that. But Lord, let us keep our eyes not only on the present but on the future. Grab hold of eternal life, we are told here, and we ask that you will fix us, our eyes on that. That as we see one day, as Job, we can say that I will see my Redeemer with my own eyes, in my flesh. That we can look forward to that day. We will not waver. Oh Lord, we ask that you will give us that strength. In the name of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.